Okay, well, let's call to order the regular meeting of the North Bend Planning Commission for Thursday, December 10th, 2015. And a reminder that this is the last Planning Commission meeting of 2015. First item on the agenda is to approve the minutes from November 12th, 2015.
So moved.
So motion by Jim and second by Dick. Any comments, changes, questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Motion or minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. Just a reminder that we're not having a public hearing tonight, so is there anybody from the public that wishes to comment on something that is not on the agenda? Okay. All right, so no one from the public present. We will move on to item number four, the continued discussion and recommendation on the Tanner Junction Master Plan Overlay District Amendment. And Jamie, have there been any changes or updates since we last spoke?
Yeah, we spent quite a bit of our last meeting discussing this topic, but it was the first time we had discussed it and we had a public hearing. And I think everybody was here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, everybody was here. So since then, we've worked with the applicant who's here tonight and worked on what would that area be at the corner of 436th and Southeast 136th. You know, we talked a lot about having wanting to have a gateway, wanting to have a arrival into town, and along 436th, as you get off the freeway, it's this is the first intersection you come to, followed by Cedar Falls Way, which comes at a little bit of a strange angle, as we talked about, and then North Bend Way. So, in general, this area has a residential feel, and there are a lot of existing trees and existing development to the south. So the changes since our last meeting show up on page 3 of 3 in the municipal code amendments. Under F, gateway frontage, we clarified that the intent was to have open space tract and retain the forested character, that trees and vegetation would be preserved to the extent, greatest extent feasible, only clearing hazard trees, and we added additional elements, the minimum dimensions to be 66 across Southeast 136th and 82 feet down 436th. We looked at that with the applicant as far as what's the area that could get us the greatest number of trees preserved, the topography that works with us. We proposed that there be sidewalks and some pedestrian level lighting, and we also felt that some sort of signage, you know, interpretive signage, small signage about either the flora fauna that's there or something North Bend. That would be more of an element for the people, you know, walking in there, not driving in their car. So it would be used by the people living in the development, but also people walking along the sidewalk or walking through. So
just curious.
Signage?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, we were thinking small, little signage.
As to why we kept a tree?
Or even this is the type of tree you're looking at. We think it's this old. Just to have something in this space to, you know, you create the trails and enhance it with some landscaping, but make it more of a, why you're here. And we didn't propose yet any, you know, do we want a bench or do we want any other features at this point? You know, it's still in a concept form, and, you know, we felt the most important thing was just retaining it so that it's not built up right to the corner. You know, we want that in the downtown areas and we require that, but here that seemed to be the vibe we were getting from the public comment from you guys and what we thought was important.
But nevertheless, there will be thinning inside that 1/10 acre site.
Not very much, yeah, unless there's trees that are identified that should be.
Well, just, I'm really concerned about the whole concept of blowdown. Mm-hmm. It's on the leading edge of where the wind's coming from all the time, south, southwest, southeast. That concerns me. It's not really. Is that the shaded line? Is that the outline of the property that we're talking about? It's not really 88 feet down 436. It's less than that, right?
No, that's
What's the shaded line indicate?
The blue. Let's see. On this, it shows blue. Is that the one you're asking about?
Yeah. This is 436, and the longer the interior line is 88 feet, not the.
Right. It's a little bit of a, it's not an exact square. Right.
But does that outline the boundary of this little park?
Boundary of this setback area.
And the way it's angled off is just provide sight distance from 136 up to 436.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that the property lines, looking at the property lines, the back of sidewalk and where.
Okay.
I'm trying to look at the topography of it. Mm-hmm. Just trying to really visualize what 10 acres on that corner looks like.
It's not 10 acres, it's 1/10 acre.
1/10 of an acre is, on that whole.
It's pretty flat. Yeah. Yeah, it's really flat.
It's like right here, right?
Yeah. I mean, they have the whole site.
That'd be good, because, you know, this makes sense as a magnify in, but just kind of seeing how
here's a King County. Oh yeah, it does. The property line jogs there. But here's a King County IMAP that just shows the area.
Right here every day you only work on the plaza packet.
And I might have another one.
Table talk.
Is that what was in our last packet?
Yes. Yeah.
So my question, does this count towards a park or anything like that? For the
yes. Yeah, it would count towards a portion, and then but the development proposes to have another common open space or a common space. So, I don't know yet if they would meet it or if they'd have to do some fee in lieu or off-site.
Well, my question is, when you talked about pedestrian signage, so is this going to be open to the public, or is it for the residents of the area? When you talk about common space, it's generally, you know, you're going to have a homeowners association who are responsible for maintaining it, and with public use, then they're going to be responsible for maintaining maybe something that they're not signed up for. So that's why I'm kind of confused as what the purpose and intent.
We viewed it as a setback, and it's still our property, and I think that we're expecting that, I don't know if it's sidewalks or trails that go down through how the field needs to be to make it feel like a park. But it's still our property. We still need to maintain it.
But so an easement to the city or easement
to the tenants off that site, right?
Yeah.
That's bound to be a transient site.
So you weren't thinking it would have an easement to the city or easement to the public?
I didn't think it was necessary. I figured it was set back. And we needed to put sidewalks in there anyway, so why not make them nice trails through this area and work that? Mm-hmm. Really hadn't got that far with it.
It being on the corner there and connecting to the city sidewalks, we were envisioning that it would be used by the public as well as by the tenants here.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's something, not necessarily for this commission, that you'll work out what the benefits are of putting it in city or not. I just wanted to know, you know, how it was positioned in here. So that's still something that needs to be worked out.
Yeah, and it doesn't specify in here, I guess, one way or the other, just open space tract serving as a city gateway. So.
And so this corner is preserved, but what about the rest of the length of 436, as you travel down, and you're going to be making left or right to go to your trail, you know, do we have a landscaped plan that says every 50 or so feet there's a group of 10 or more trees that help shade the buildings? Or I'm trying to think, our gateway should extend all the way into North Bend Boulevard, so just...
Yeah, and we would have to work on that, you know, next year, and because because that's a bigger project, and as projects, more street projects or development come, then that's when that's going to come about.
And is there a sidewalk on the west line on 436 between the units and the street?
Yes, along their entire frontage. Mm-hmm.
And that'll tie into
Chinook.
And then from Chinook to the corner of North Bend Way, what's happening there?
Nothing.
So we'll have a sidewalk just floating in the middle of, bookended by gravel shoulders.
There is, after Chinook, there is a piece of frontage that looks like it might be developed as single family. Yeah. So that would have a piece. So then you've only got two smaller parcels till you get to the intersection.
Yeah, and the church side doesn't have a sidewalk either.
No.
So really, we've got this little paved floating island.
We thought that this setback area would have something akin to sidewalks in it, although they'd be trails and they would connect, as opposed to just having straight sidewalks all the way down. Mm-hmm.
So with this development, we've got sidewalks around the perimeter of our property. Mm-hmm. What's then done or will be done on
the
neighboring
not,
is...
It's not up to you, for sure.
Yeah.
We have some sort of notion to put in a bicycle lane on either side of the 436th.
Coming. Yes, I think it does call for that.
Clearly, you're going to be needing that. Mm-hmm. At least on one side of the road.
You had mentioned concern about tree preservation, and thinning it out makes them less stable going forward. And our idea is in this area to keep as much together as possible. As you go up 436, there are some other trees, but there's a ravine. There are some topography issues. It would have been harder to keep some of those as we go north. North. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to keep as many together in clumps as possible to keep them strong.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to start.
And there's a couple, not that it has anything to do with this, but there's some other areas in here where we may be able to do the same thing.
Those trees, I've not walked the property, but my eye tells me they're healthy. There's nothing wrong with those trees, and they're pretty healthy trees. They're growing. There's no weakness in that stand. It's pretty, so probably a second growth, or maybe even a third growth.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Did you do this?
Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
Elizabeth, any comments?
Okay.
Scott?
I think that they brought up some, kind of modified based on what we said about a gateway. I think the intent was on that corner as you drive in. And I think clustering is good, but you don't want a young cluster either. So that would be the. And I'm just not sure, but in this corner, it doesn't look like big trees are in the corner. That's where this is. Right there, it looks like younger trees. But,
fancy.
So I don't know, I guess that's my only thought. I don't know if I have specific feedback, but if it's the corner, I think is kind of what we're intending, but if it's some of the smallest trees in the property, then that's really, because then wind blow, if it's a tree that's this big versus this big,
there's multiple larger sizes.
Yeah, and we would look at a re-landscape plan, too. So if there was, areas, we could replant with either specimen type or native shrubs, ground cover. I could see that, too. And we'd want to do that to keep invasives in and just make it look as nice as we can. Mm-hmm.
My biggest question is what the general setback for the rest of the units are from 436. And this kind of goes to what maybe a gateway requirement would be, but
I'd like to kind of see something addressed here that we don't end up with Maloney Grove, that they're 10 feet from the road edge, you know, with the sidewalk right there.
It's going to be with the busier streets of town. Yeah. All those homes get built up in the Tanner area.
And yeah.
That's going to be a very busy street.
So they're going to have architectural elements as far as the street-facing windows, the window trims, and articulation and that sort of thing. I don't know if you guys have the scale of what those buildings, it looks like they're fairly close, and here's a picture of what is that, four buildings along 430?
You know, Jim, you know, a street like that, it seems like it's pretty close to the road. We're probably thinking about some kind of future, some sort of sound barrier, like a wall going in there.
It looked like they're about 20 feet.
Earth and berm.
I'm talking like a wall,
yeah.
10 feet high.
It's two buildings? These are the stairs.
Earth and berm.
But, so, you know.
I'm going to pass this down, but my guess is if I'm looking at 66 feet back, mm-hmm. and this is a quarter of that, mm-hmm. somewhere around 20 feet.
There, it looks like about 20 feet.
It's pretty narrow. Very crowded the street.
I think the concept also was when we find some large growth timber there that we try to work around that and not necessarily yeah. have a straight sidewalk.
So you're talking 20 feet to the property line, and then you have the planter strip, the sidewalk, and then into the right of way.
My view is, okay, trees are important, but I think this is a living space, and that's more important than trees, in my mind. The people that live there have to want to stay there. Mm-hmm. And having those units so close to the street, it's going to be a sound problem. You're going to be adding amenities there that's going to have to block that sound off in some way. Or there will be people complaining to the city about that. Mm-hmm. So I think the trees would lose out in favor of quality of life. We're thinking about that more these days in this town more than. And trees are important, but quality of life is equally important. Mm-hmm. And those have become almost uninhabitable.
Well, I think sound can be regulated in a couple of ways. One would be to lower the speed limit on both North Bend Way and 436, right? And that's going to cut down on road noise. But I live quite far away from the freeway. I'll tell myself it's the river, but it is the freeway. Yeah. Right?
Well, I can hear that
one
all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, you know, to kind of sidetrack us on this, I think that we've gotten really fixated on specific projects and ideas, mm-hmm. and the fact that we've discussed Gateway, and that's not actually the question that we're dealing with here, mm-hmm. which is multifamily an overlay appropriate for that space? And my general sense is that we're not arguing that this could work there. We're arguing about or discussing, mm-hmm. rather than arguing, just not. Discussing details of a specific project that may or may not be the final one that ends up there. Questions about setback for multifamily residential is something that we may be wanting to talk about on a larger scale in terms of for any type of project like this or in developing a gateway plan. But the actual question, which I don't really hear anyone saying they don't think that this works there, is whether or not to allow a multifamily overlay and whether or not that would be appropriate for that location.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, our focus for the changes was on page 3, but as we went through last week, the other changes are all shown in track change on the 3 pages of code. So one was the allowing the 12 units. 12-unit buildings in some cases.
So, Jamie, from what I understand, if we even start to discuss a gateway plan, it's going to be in 2016, and this project would have already moved forward.
Right, so and this project is one piece of that bigger puzzle, too. So there's only so much gateway that this site can accomplish, no matter how we look at it, and even if we had a gateway plan developed already.
Reacting to Elizabeth's comment, which I think is totally valid. When you look at the larger parcel, the Tanner block, we'll see a lot of light industrial going in that area. Mm-hmm. And that very likely the workers that would be attracted to that kind of work would be multifamily type dwellers, it seems to me. So it would accommodate it.
Well, we have a definite, we're missing this particular thing in terms of our inventory.
Yeah.
So the specific project is one thing, but the second is, are we willing to take a run at getting more multifamily residential in?
And is that the right spot
North
for
Bend?
It?
And is it the right spot for it? You know, I'm going back to what we were hearing, and I honestly think that we would, a lot of the concerns that we were hearing from people that live nearby in Alpine Estates are the same concerns that we're going to hear with regard to any project that goes into that space. Mm-hmm. And the question becomes for me, in balancing that, would multifamily residential or something that brings in heavy trucks onto that road with what's there already going to be more appropriate? I'm leaning toward making a decision about what we have. We needed to address the issue of that corner because that was a major, if that went wrong, the gateway idea for that entire area kind of falls apart. But in terms of what our actual question is, it's really where everybody is sitting on allowing multifamily there.
Well said, Elizabeth. So, any thoughts, I guess?
Well, that's not going to be, that street will not be a suburban street. 436 will not be a suburban street because of all the traffic that's going to funnel to it from all the other parts of town. Mm-hmm. So it almost opts out to be a multifamily. Mm-hmm. Unless you have some other kind of concept in mind.
What happened with the rezoning the county was anticipating on doing for exit 32? Did that get put away?
At the...
Because I attended that meeting at Fall City, and we weren't even on the list or the agenda, so I don't know.
I happen to have read that. Yeah. It's not happening now, but they left open the opportunity for them to make a direct request in the future.
Okay.
So it wasn't a yes or a no.
Yeah. But what's interesting there, too, is, you know, the communication, disrupting the charm and rural character of Sammamish, of Carnation, of Fall City, of Snoqualmie. I mean, all the same things that I was hearing, that we all were hearing this last election year as well, you know.
Yeah.
But again, and I think these were my sentiments last time, jockeying that with the need, as you eloquently put, for inventory for affordable housing in our community, which is desperately needed, this is a tough decision.
Well, I do think that, but there's also a we tend to slide into saying affordable housing, and there's an immediate assumption that that's meaning, you know, low income, and to unfortunately call it out, Pickering Court, which is King County housing. Mm-hmm. People default to think that.
Yeah.
So when we talk about, it's actually just housing that is appropriate for people at a certain point in their life.
Exactly.
That are going to be renting rather than buying, or who are hourly wage employees that may just be making minimum wage, which we know is pretty well impossible to find housing in North Bend if that's your situation. So it fills a need, but the second issue is whether or not it's appropriate.
I'm not even sure that these will be affordable. We'll think about
it's hard
it.
Well, that's the other, you
and
don't
that's
know.
Not the issue
you know?
If you go one way or another. It's whether or not that space is
and what gets challenging is looking at it from a gateway perspective, you know, we already have the houses in the Alpine right there.
Mm-hmm.
We have some other hodgepodge kind of construction on the other side of the street. Then we have this potential at the exit for even more that if it's not incorporated, we have no control over happening on, around the freeway there. But as a gateway piece, there's a lot of communities I've been to where suddenly it's like this, where, okay, let's put these great townhomes right on this road that at the time wasn't, it was a big road, but it wasn't a main thoroughfare, as you pointed out, that it will become. And then next thing you know, you have all this crazy traffic and these homes here with one or two trees, like on the site map here, there's like seven trees separating in that 20-foot zone.
But on the other side of that, when you think about the traffic and where it will happen,
you could go all the way down Maloney Grove and you could put a bunch of townhomes there where they're hidden.
Yep.
But then the traffic has to come there to North Bend Way to exit 31. And here you have almost a direct low impact.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the adjacent properties there, if I'm correct, are already residential can go in there. I mean, they already have the overlay. So they're kind of hidden as it is from this industrial area.
Doesn't this butt up to...
The properties on the other side of the street are King County still.
But I'm talking about over on this edge here, right?
Okay.
There's an overlay that's already existing there, right? So this type of development could occur there.
Right.
And this particular site could be an industrial area, which would kind of make sense for this being a thoroughfare and dressing it up and all that other stuff.
Yeah, both that site and then the expansion of the overlay that we're proposing could go either way. That's what the overlay gives you. It could still be developed light industrial. Mm-hmm. And if somebody came to the property owner next week and gave them a deal they couldn't refuse, I mean, it could be developed light industrial or multifamily, same with over here.
That's how it's coming down for me. I mean, this really leaves my mind. If we lock in protecting that corner regardless of what goes in there, it helps in terms of having a little bit more attractive drive. We have everything on the left already that's King County and right up to Mossman. But is there any reason multifamily isn't appropriate there when industrial is? I mean, it is really what it's coming
down to. Well, I think for me, it would be extending that corner vision all the way down the road. Mm-hmm. That would be more, in my mind, at the early stages, at least concepting, that's kind of the gateway feel. So if industrial is happening on this side, at least you have that 30, 40-foot buffer of this integrated trail system that looks cool and people want to walk on it, and it will connect.
Down 436.
Yeah, so we just extend that vision on that corner straight down 436. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that there would be some appropriate buffering that could happen around, 136 down this street, but...
Well, I think on 136, as long as it stays kind of in keeping with the fact that there's residential across the way, one way or another with industrial, that would probably be more setback.
Yeah, you know, a little more of a buffer and thicker landscape.
In the case of the example we've been given, it's using design to create that feel, but you're not.
Your sewer on 436, right? Going down Cedar Falls, so you got sewer links up to that property.
Yes. Yeah. And the road is going to get busier, but I think as, you know, the other projects that we know about in this area, residential projects and the commercial, and then the cottage development just off Cedar Falls Way, not far from here either, I think that you are going to start to see more people on the street, and especially walking on the street, and especially if you have sidewalks, and then you're not that far from the Tanner Trail. So there are pedestrian amenities they need to be completed.
Slightly off topic. So in terms of the issue of sidewalks with the project, the Chinook project, are they adding sidewalks?
Yes, they would for their frontage.
Mm-hmm. Sorry,
the trigger for any additional sidewalks would be those additional lots.
Yes, new development would be the trigger. Unless the city decides to do it.
Okay. And what are they doing for the 436 frontage?
For Chinook, it's what is in our code right now for street frontage, so it'd be the same as what they're proposing. So, you know, we can always work with, unless we change the code, to enhance landscaping more than just your planter strip. You know, we can either work with the property owners or... you know, replacement trees, we can say, hey, let's put them here against the road. I mean, there's...
Because where I'm going with that is continuity, right? Absent of having a gateway plan.
Right.
When I drove up and down this area, driving in as though I lived in that neighborhood.
Right.
You know, it is kind of a disjointed area that long-term thinking, it could be a really neat area, right? And not to say that it's got its unique flavor, but it's just... And then this floating sidewalk, you know, and then I start seeing the pieces come to life as a per item, moment to moment thing.
Yeah, it is, you know, with the concept going down this way, meeting the other overlay, And then that connecting to the Snoqualmie Valley Trail. So, I mean, there is a lot of potential.
Elizabeth, you know, that 436, that's going to become a four-lane road, just like Bendigo is. It's going to be, it connects to a major entryway to 990, and that's going to be a four-lane road.
No, that's been...
No question about it.
Well, and the thing that we need to think of is the fact that we don't want to be creating a situation where this increase in traffic is being driven through downtown North Bend.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We already have issues.
Yeah.
So is a step one to getting some sort of...
I think we have a plan for developing a right-of-way that would accommodate a four-lane road.
That should be part of the gateway.
Signaled intersections.
Yeah, absolutely. That should be part of the gateway strategy. And that's why I look at the just in this concept here with the houses so close to the road.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to need to widen it or there's something else that's going to... We have anticipated growth out that way. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
To your point, you know, it's going to happen. But if we fix ourselves like this, then we're kind of confined with the flexibility that how that area could be realized, I guess.
I think part of the challenge in that area, though, is that we're dealing with kind of a... We don't, as the city, I should say, doesn't control from
that
the freeway forward.
Upstream, yeah.
Because, you know, a good chunk of that remains King County, even on that side.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to deal with the fact that King County, well, King County is kind of ignoring things.
I think, yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean we couldn't have an interlocal agreement with this county to build that road out.
Good. Last meeting was just that I think what's missing is a ranking of the employment park parcels, you know, so that we would know where this one sits, and maybe other people kind of know that just from experience over time. But, you know, if you had maybe criteria, it could at least be something to reference. It would be helpful rather than just kind of guessing, you know, should it be this or should it be that? And it's because its location is really important in this, as we're kind of bringing up. It's not just about switching it. So
I'll only offer this. I think it really depends on the type of business and industry, and the more you're involved in delivery or shipping, the closer you want to be to the interstate. You know, that's the only insight that I'm thinking of it. I'm thinking as a city point of view, the only inference I've ever gained is that there isn't a lot of housing for average wage workers in our city, and so the businesses don't necessarily want to relocate here because their workers can't live in their community.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, I would prefer the flexibility on the lots, whether it can sell for multifamily or whether it's going to be the industrial. One has to happen for the other one. It's hard to say which and where, and it depends on that business, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more for the flexibility.
Yeah. And with the explosion site, you know, it looks like we're going to...
It's Phoenix, right? It's the Phoenix Plaza.
Phoenix Plaza. So we're getting some, if that project goes forward, which it still looks like it is, we're getting some multifamily downtown, too. I mean, it's needed not just in one area or the other, so... So that's a good thing.
Elizabeth.
If you lived off Cedar Falls or in Alpine Estates, would you want a Nintendo of trucks in and out in your backyard? Is something with that level of trucks coming in and out appropriate for that road, given it is a feeder road for a number of residential areas? That's kind of where I come down a little bit on this. Nintendo works in part because we don't see it for the most part. They're on and off, and it's out of everybody's sight. Same for some of the industrial that will be available out toward Trump.
And the sense I got from the citizens that were here, or the property owners, North Bend citizens, is that they felt the same way. I mean, at first they came in and they were kind of opposed in general, but I think they're just opposed to having anything. You know, they'd rather have the tree vacant parcel. But my feeling was that they ended up kind of agreeing that, yeah, I think that a residential would be better than potentially what you could get in the light industrial.
And again, to bring it back around, our real decision is whether it ends up industrial or multifamily. Is multifamily okay for the space? That's really the heart of what we're looking at.
So commercial is not.
Well, it's already EP1, yeah. So this would put it overlay, so you could do either or. Mm-hmm. Which is all the neighboring properties on this side already have that overlay.
Is it the entirety of those properties, or is it only a portion? Hold on, because I have a question, because I don't think it's the whole.
Right, so the one that it touches, this piece here, could be entirely multifamily. Or entirely light industrial. And then we split these remaining parcels that go all the way again to the Snoqualmie Valley Trail. The ones, the first, I think it's about 250 feet or so, that fronts North Bend Way, we said, you know, we don't want this whole thing to become residential. So we allowed it on the back half either way. And on the front, we said that still needs to remain EP1. So.
You know, in the way I look at that, I almost want to flip-flop what's EP1 and what's residential, mm-hmm. and put the residential along trail side and put the EP1 based on that private road side, so they have one road, you know, and create that as the industrial road and take it off of North Bend Way.
Actually, I like this better.
Well, you still have Tanner Road here, and you still have that connection.
This makes sense to me from expanding outward and having that main North Bend Way with the ability to develop into that commercial light industrial. It just makes sense to me, especially with the on and off point that you made earlier.
Yeah. And this is,
and then you can talk, totally, and to the great point you were just raising, Scott, about having, you know, employment park type, corporate park type center. Having, if any of those along North Bend Way were developed in that regard, those can make beautiful industrial professional landscaping that butts up great with housing and residential, right? And that's where I keep going back and forth on this front piece here, is that if I think of, say, development behind, following down 136, right, back in there, would it entice residential development if we have residential up front on 436, or if we have that more as the light industrial? And then they would be talking, you know, because I'm trying to think not only the expansion of where we're going to go as a community, but how we can encourage other property owners in the area to kind of fit with our direction of how we feel our city should go.
I would be.
And that may be too much anticipating and speculating, but.
I think we got to do our limit, our very best to keep any commercial truck off that 136. That would be.
Absolutely.
So we have to be thinking about keeping the industrial on the North Bend Way side of the property there to make that work.
Yes, totally see your point.
I wouldn't even allow them to come back into that 136.
Yes.
At any time, even during the dark at night, sneak back in there. I think that would be terrible.
Yeah. Well. This is
where we need to connect.
The roads will connect, and so it's a public use of roads. You can create truck routes, but yeah, it'll be something for the transportation plan.
I almost got through it until you talked about the problem residential and this one. Whenever I see the river like that, it may be across the street, it may not be special flood hazard area. But when you have a bin like that, I don't want multifamily residential there is not worth it. Mm-hmm. You don't want something catastrophic to happen in the middle of the night with a bunch of people right there. Because when you have a bin like that, you can end up with catastrophic failures and erosion of the road. Yeah. It's happened before in this area, a little bit further up. And I would rather that be an industrial park where no one's there when it happens.
Yeah.
Or it's during the day when they know it's coming and they get out, and have it happen where you have a lot of people sleeping.
And extending on that point further, when you think of all the new development that's up,
that's
one of the gateways out. That's one of the exit routes, you know, I mean, your community.
Yeah.
The one that's going behind. So,
knowing that those other lots are not fully capable of high-density multifamily housing, they're only a portion of them. Giving this property that ability, does it make it more attractive, less attractive?
Well, given the spirit of the conversation, or where the conversation just went, and I'm just going to throw this out on the table, I mean, my mind went immediately to, look, if we like the split and where the industrial is on North Bend Way, and that we seem to think that residential is better for the 136, then why have the overlay altogether? Somebody, I think, even brought it up at the last meeting that that whole strip should just be residential. But I don't want to impose on, because there's property owners, I mean, there's a whole conversation that needs to happen with that. But.
And technically, we can't do anything for a year, since right. We just revised it.
But that could be a recommendation for City Council to consider.
Leaving it as is allows for flexibility. The overlay takes care of it now.
Yeah. So are there any comments or changes for any of the proposed update?
Have we still decided that the overlay is the right thing?
I'm just wanting to know if there's any changes so then we can discuss what the changes are. If there's no changes.
Reading the changes out there pretty much aligned with what the discussion went like last time.
To me, it's super simple. Right now, that property owner or the adjacent property owners in this EP1 zone could come in and say, put in some warehouse buildings, and I'll let you know what we're doing inside the buildings whenever the business operates. Now we look at the side of buildings. This is an improvement for probably anybody who drives by. No question, there are probably more people that could reside on this property that could probably work on this property, depending on what you do the math on. So, to me, it's easy. Throw in the fact that that's what the current landowner is asking us to consider, which takes it over the edge for me. We can spend all night tweaking it and adjusting it and playing with it, but this is a big leap over what could be there right now without any request to the zoning change.
Thank you.
I tend to agree with you on that, too.
Come on, man, I need to make a note of that.
I'm not looking to end the debate, but if there's anybody that'd like to make a motion.
The only thing I had, just a little double clicking into, is the as necessary. That seemed to pop up a lot, and I respect the flexibility, but I also want to know what extent that's been used before, because it's one thing to say, yeah, well, we need to plant these trees here as necessary. Then we all think. I mean, first to your point, we got to solve if we're going to overlay or not before we dive into this and spend hours like Vin pointed out and cycling through. But some of that just seemed like, okay, yeah, let's figure this out so we can get the overlay in. Yeah. And then, because it was very good language to support the overlay and how that could possibly work. And the signage piece was, in one way, a nice touch to say, yes, look, we're really, our intent here is to protect this land and not,
So our intent is to use the land and use it in a way that keeps it healthy and functioning. And I also feel like oftentimes our discussion comes around dealing with existing landforms that were put in much earlier times with different views. Who's to say these roads are in the right place? 436 is in the right place. Well, it is now because we have the freeway there. Before then, so who's to say that we're working with roads that can't be moved around in terms of how longer range view of the community? I don't know why we have that stupid strip between the old railroad right of way and North Bend Way. Get rid of that damn thing.
It's probably
and
on, yeah.
Use the space. And the same thing with this. I think that if we're talking about any hope for any light industrial here, we have to have living spaces first. If I'm going to build industry, I want to have housing available before I put a capital money into a building. So I would support the overlay in the view that building it, they will come. We will start getting some industrial work going on out here.
Thank you.
That's my
thoughts. When you go to as necessary, the one that stood out for me was the hazardous trees and then to accommodate trails and gateway features. I kind of say, you know, since they're being flexible with the undefined what a gateway is to our city and what the requirements as the landowner, I might be more lenient to as necessary there. If there's another area.
And really, it's deemed as necessary by the director. I mean, that's the deciding person. So it gives us flexibility to say, well, how important is this leg of the trail? We're going to lose this many trees. Should we not have that and do this instead? So it's really meant to give us flexibility.
Okay. That's the clarification I was looking for on how it's been typically.
And then it was used there, and then on page two, it's again talking about, to the extent feasible, that was line the street up with the other intersection. That seems to be, maybe we don't even have to say that because it seems like that is going to happen, and we all want that to happen. And then the rest of it was for that write out only. You know, we had said that the traffic study is going to inform us about that. Then the condition below, again, is back to significant trees. We've just found that you have to retain all significant trees, period. And then you come up with, when you really get into the details, well, actually, it would be better if we took out one, but we're going to save two over here. So.
Great, because that was my question. The other thing, too, is that we're thinking about this in the terms of the concept that we have ahead of us.
Right? Yeah.
So most of
the overlying, Elizabeth's right, the overlying is just the overlay. Have a pretty solid project in mind. We don't always have that information or know that, and things could change.
And that's the point that I'm trying to think through here, because I'm envisioning the overlay based on this concept. I'm reviewing the language here that will be tied to that land based on this concept. We approve the overlay, the concept changes. So is this too early for what we need? At least some of this is how it's written.
I don't think so. I think this can work for
anything.
If you are going to have any vehicles, it'd be best to line up the intersections. And if you are going to have whatever buildings on the lot, that corner piece is very important. I think we could look at enhancing.
Yeah, because that's where I would want to expand it a little bit more, at least in discovery, is expanding it down 436. Because I respect and appreciate that corner, but it seems to me that knowing what's happening down the road and all these other things.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that whole corner width needs to be extended the whole way.
So the zoning, whatever modification we might make of zone, doesn't change the fact that everything, including setbacks, still has to be reviewed separately in a different process. So with that, Mr. Chair, I move we accept this.
I have a question of Jane. Public Works has looked at 436 and the oncoming road traffic in the next 20 years from East Tanner. What's their opinion on 436? How soon will it need to expand?
I'll have to talk with them about that. I don't know if our plans have it ultimately becoming a four-lane. I would imagine signalized or roundabout for sure at North Bend Way for sure, and then Cedar Falls.
I would think you'd want to be able to talk about getting right-of-way with Sanera established before it becomes impossible to acquire.
Yeah, so I will check in with them on that, and we still have some time, obviously, with developments are not, haven't submitted and are not vested. So I mean,
imagine happening on exit 32. What's happening now on exit 25? Everyone's backing up eastbound I-90 to get down 18. I could see exit 32 backing up, waiting to get the signal on North Bend and Way synchronized with traffic. I could just see that happening, and that becoming just a zoo.
I don't believe in the transportation element that we had a signal. It was a roundabout.
Roundabout's even worse.
Well, it depends which direction you're coming from.
It's working for you in the moment.
Yeah. Mr. Elwood and I both were talking about 436 Avenue Southeast. And if I look at this document and I see that we're talking about gateway frontage on 436 Avenue Southeast and on Southeast 136th Street, but we've only detailed the intersection of that. Is there a specific reason or that we only are looking at that corner?
Well, so on page 2, on the second bullet, we do discuss the broader retention of trees, and we say along both those streets in their entirety, the public sidewalk, we say shall meander through retained significant trees, again, to the extent feasible. But so even that sidewalk along there, you know, doesn't have to go in a straight line like it does in front of the Bartell building and demolish all the trees. We have some flexibility there. I mean, the only other thing is if you were to want to increase that landscape buffer a little bit, you know, it's detailed in our street standard right now. Not to say you couldn't, you know, add 5 feet to it in this overlay, or, you know, look at, do we want evergreen trees, you know, a certain species of evergreen trees versus the deciduous we typically see as a street tree.
My question for the commission is this. You know, is there a value on existing trees that have grown so tall with no branches, or would you rather have new landscaping plantings in a certain requirement and form and type of tree? And so where we have industrial requirements of type 2 landscaping, which is certain evergreens, you know, do we want to have clusters of groupings of evergreens and native landscapings? Mm-hmm. And because that, you know, speaks to what the flora and fauna is in North Bend, but you can also have a quality of life because you are allowing light filtration through open spaces in those groupings for the residents. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as you're thinking about that, I'm almost ready to make a motion, but I'd like to hear from you guys, like, what should that 436 drive be like, and what should it reflect, not just, you know, existing, but what are the possibilities?
Deciduous trees tend to have deeper root. They tend to be firm until they get to be a certain height, then they get kind of rippy. Conifer trees, they grow up shallow, and they depend upon connecting to maintain their stability. That's why it's a good idea to keep conifers clustered rather than him, unless you have an established, isolated tree that's already wind firm, taking away trees from each other who are depending upon their neighboring tree, you're creating a problem for yourself. That doesn't mean they won't become wind firm, but the risk is there that it will have to go for several years before you actually have that established. But I think on boulevards, I think deciduous are always more appealing just because the color is changing and so on. That tends to make it messy for maintenance to be picking up all those leaves, but I really enjoy driving through Sideview Estates, all those homes and those deciduous trees.
So if I think of North Bend, I think of big leaf maples and vine maples are two most dominant types of that species. They're not the most colorful.
They aren't. You want sycamores and you want...
Right,
you
know, so...
You can plant those, they'll live here.
But should our gateway be just pretty, or should it be about North Bend?
The gateway, to me, is not. I mean, because the difference is we're talking about 30, 50-year-old or more dug for evergreen trees. That's what the gateway is. That's what people don't have when they live further west. So, you know, the opposite of a gateway, to me, is leveling the whole land, putting houses, and putting... you know, some landscape trees in there, whether they're colorful or not. You know, that's not the Northwest, that's not the gateway, that's not what the people are driving east to North Bend to have that preservation. And then so it's good to clarify. I'm glad you brought it up. So I think the gateway is what's up on the hill when you look at Little Si and Mount Si, and that's primarily evergreen trees of a larger size. So I think even if you were to, you know, so maybe you could say, well, in 15 years, they'll be big. Well, that's 15 years from now. You know? So that's not preserving, that's planting.
Anybody else?
Okay. So my thought is that we create some kind of group or cluster of existing trees along 436. And when you say significant trees, I would rather see a cluster of. So I'm trying to think about how to put this in words and what the right spacing is.
And to me, it's kind of like if I go hit a trail and I'm on foot, that type of experience, but widened out in a vehicle, right? Because I totally agree with you. I mean, otherwise we're just another subdivision of Snoqualmie if we start putting in landscape trees and waiting for them to blossom.
I look at our history. Number one thing, hops or logging?
It should be hops and logging.
Come on.
So logging supports the hops. The hops support the logging. It's a
so we want a 20-foot fence with hops growing on it.
That's what I see. The vine should be hops on the evergreen.
That's true. I think we ought to have some kind of dedicated planting of hops.
I agree. Yes. That should be our town vine.
For the parks department. Brennan, what aligns with your thoughts for 436?
Well, this doesn't. I totally appreciate the fact that you've plotted out this concept. It's helped me see your vision, and I respect it, and I see why you went the direction you went. What I'm grappling with is that whole area to me seems to need to be a reevaluation, especially given what's happening up by the interchange with potential rezoning with the county. And the gateway piece here, we don't have that addressed. And I feel like we have, just like I said earlier, just kind of a hodgepodge happening. And I feel like this is another hodgepodge movement. Not to say that this little section wouldn't be beautiful and nice, but to me, and I totally love your point, it's like we're going up to Mount Si, so I want the drive-in to be that giddy-up adventure to Mount Si. And if it's totally disjointed with the experience that we have up here in the mountains, then it's not an appropriate gateway, right? But that leads to the other problem, is that we don't have a gateway plan. So these poor folks are here going, wait, this is our property. We have a vision. We want to move with it. But the city isn't ready to handle our vision, if you look at it from my point of view, right? I don't know if that answers your question or creates more of a problem, but...
So I'm hearing... you have some thoughts, but it's not necessarily well enough defined that we ought to put it down. Is that correct?
What do you mean, put it down?
As something for 436.
And really, in this case, it's the whole 436, thing. Just this property.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what we can address today.
Well, it's what we can address today, and it's what would extend into the Chinook and any other development that happens there, right?
Would extend if we changed our street standard or otherwise.
Because I feel that whole area overlays this getaway. What's the vision for this side of the street, that side of the street? It seems to me that we have to take a hard look at it. And then when I go into, you know, housing that people that live and work in North Bend can afford, then I go to another direction. Then I think of the development, especially that type of development, should occur more centralized downtown. So there's kind of grapple with a lot of different.
So when I'm thinking about this, I like the location to the freeway for whether it's work or a cluster of housing. Mm-hmm. So I've spoken a few times on just where, and this fits in high density area that has easy access to the freeway and easy access to trails. When I think about landscaping and trees, I agree with the traditional landscaping, because when I go three or four stories, it's less of an impact when I have 75-foot tall trees around me. Mm-hmm. And that creates a more welcoming and integrated feel with the community. My thought is, how do I put that into the paper version of that? And, you know,
my initial thought is to have 10 or more trees in a cluster every 40 feet. Mm-hmm. And where I kind of think of this, and if you've ever driven around Redmond on the Microsoft campus, they have certain buildings that have clusters of trees and meandering trails through them, and it gives them quite shade from the tree, from the street view, so you're thinking that you're in a more rural area than you are. And so how can we create that same feel based on North Bend standards? Mm-hmm. And is that something that you guys think is a possibility, or what adjustments?
I'll say something else again. There's an applicant who put his paperwork in, as we require, 3 months ago. No? Mm-hmm. And this is our last meeting of the year. I just imagine that, let's just pick something out of the hat here, that the timber, the lumber company across the street, they split, they flop with each other. And then we've already got this guy building his lumber yard on the same piece of property. So we're spending a whole bunch of time talking about the city vision when someone's made an application to do something with this property. And I think we owe some due diligence that we've done through, and now we need to hand it on to the city council to make a decision on.
You bring up an excellent point, and it's that city vision that we're missing here.
Yeah.
For me to get a solid yes or no, because
yeah.
I can go both ways on it. I'm leaning more no, to be quite frank. But we need to have that city vision clearly articulated to us. Then that will help. I think it'll help me weigh one way or the other. Because I agree with you. We need to do that due diligence, and that is part of the due diligence. And I don't like waiting, property owners waiting 3, 4, 6 months to make a change. But that's just my immediate response.
And I get it. But then we start looking at every zone, every other corridor. I mean, that's the point. Right?
That is the point, yeah.
Let me help you a little more with your vision. I see on 436th North Bend Way, a neighborhood commercial center. I see small stores. I see maybe even a small restaurant there. I mean, that's the activity there, because the people that are going to be demanding services further east in the next 20 years, they get in there.
Yeah.
This property here just starts that process. It begins, I think it should go there, much more than a light industrial operation right there on that street. It keeps the neighbors more intact with living units, no matter if they're apartment or single family. You have residential living. I see the day where there's going to be really some light commercial there, making the neighborhood more intact, more uniform. I don't see light industrial going there.
So, but you're hitting on the point that I said earlier, which is we need to re-examine that whole area zoning, because we're thinking overlay, because I agree with you. I mean, that's the other part of the gateway piece, is why are people going down that road? Is it just to go home, or are there amenities there that are drawing them? So I can stop off here to grab lunch before I hit the trail, right?
But this sort of concept, again, this is going to go through the filter of how does this look aesthetically, all that design review process is still going to have to happen after if and when it gets approved. The gateway conversation is huge, right? It involves the whole city, really.
Yep.
Does it really impact this particular request for land use? In fact, it probably will fit no matter what the gateway does. What you're talking about is the area that's visible from the roads and people traveling through, and I'd argue that that's going to come back up again in this regular process to protect and buffer and do those things that you may do. I mean, the concept that the road you're going down on, I totally get it, but I mean, this is, using grand terms, you're going down the moratorium road.
So if he's going down the moratorium road, I think the other way. I think you got to have a vision. And those are the things that I heard. No more growth. We got to have a strategy, and we got to have a vision and a strategy to achieve that vision. We have poor infrastructure. We can't handle. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And that's just not from one neighborhood.
Oh yeah,
right. That's from every neighborhood.
Everybody who lives here probably has some sense of okay, we're done.
That was the common thing. And then going to the county commission meeting the other night was another eye opener, because it's valley wide, quite frankly. So.
And a few years ago, in the zoning code, we looked at more of the intersection of Mount Si and North Benway, and how we wanted that to be a gateway to the trails, and what would that look like, and what sort of uses. And so, yes, we've kind of been
This is a gateway to the residential east side. And I think the trail gateway is still a very important concept. No question about that. This is a gateway. The 436 is the gateway to the residential east side city. That's what that is.
So, Mr. Chair, as I mentioned earlier, I need to go. But I'll just leave it with you to say that I'm very comfortable putting this in the hands of the City Council next. And we can all, each individually, if we wish, go and speak further about additional concerns. But at least that'll keep the permit process on track for this particular applicant.
Make a motion.
I move we accept this as written.
Okay. Motion by Mr. Lucky. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
And second by Mr. Ryan. Any more discussion or thoughts? Okay.
Call the question.
I'll call the question. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed?
Opposed.
Good night.
Okay. The motion passes with one opposed. So the changes are accepted for the Chapter 18-25 Administrative Adjustments to Bulk and Dimensional Standards for 18.10.025 Special Districts. Good in the order.
Can we get going on the gateway?
Yeah.
Because, well, you know,
thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your
additional life.
I have no doubt. Appreciate your time, investment in making us see your vision.
Well, the discussion is good.
Yes, yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
Because I spent the top half of these sheets were looking at industrial buildings. And then a couple months ago, I shifted to saying, why don't we do multifamily? So that's my thought process, working right through exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Appreciate you being here, for sure. Have a good night.
Elizabeth.
I mean, part of this, and I didn't go down that road because I thought it was another kind of abstract, which is where we are on the Chinook. I mean, if we really look at what we have existing and where we can make any changes in the in what's already there. I mean, I just think of the, you know, we have the church property on the opposite side that is basically a giant parking lot, not a whole lot in terms of any kind of screening at all.
They have burning bushes.
And, you know, where are we in that? And in particular with the Chinook project, I thought it was, and this may be a misunderstanding, however, I thought it was further along, and that we might be already beyond a point that we could inject any
influence.
And at that point, it becomes an issue of consistency along that road, because we already have that issue as you get off there and drive through it in terms of, you know, the basic explosion of do what you want to do that's pretty prevalent on the corners there.
So I hear that the gateway discussion is very important in defining what it is and what it should be and how we need to be consistent through all those areas. Mm-hmm. And so I'll work to get that on our agenda as soon as possible.
It's not just that spot. We have a number of gateways. Mm-hmm. And I think that plays into so much of the concern that many of the people in North Bend and, as you indicated, valley-wide have, mm-hmm. which is, are they seeing the things that make them feel like this is the valley they remember? And where we can have some control in guiding that is in really developing a plan. And you may see the vision grow mm-hmm. out of that process as part of it, because those gateways are what is North Bend.
And I would say, I would add extra urgency onto what you're putting forward, because given that it's come up again on that King County piece, the city's going to have to make a decision on whether or not to incorporate. There's a whole other political debate that needs to happen on that front. And the sooner we have a plan and a vision for that gateway, not only will it be great for the residents, number one, because A, we'll have a vision and a strategy, but number two, when we go to the table as a city and we're saying, hey, King County, hey, property owners, here's how we see it. We actually are coming to the table with something more than you tell us what you want to do, which is where I think is a major short sight, right?
Well, because we're talking with that particular parcel, they kicked the can on it. I mean, flat out, that's what happened with that situation.
Right.
That is getting up to, right?
Rattlesnake, which is how many people come from out of town to go up there?
Yep.
Going down there, that changes the whole feel. Mm-hmm. If they turn in there and that looks different from what they're expecting, the golf course at least has some mature trees, and it's somewhat hidden from the road. It's not obvious, you don't have buildings. Mm-hmm. So, exactly, having that very solid, this is, we want to maintain when people are driving through here the feel that they are still in the woods.
And could you imagine if the city's trying to even discuss incorporating, and there is no sense of how we're going to control those properties, mm-hmm. and we're at that precipice where, oh, you got to make
it. It's too late at that point. And if exactly. we're looking at this happening in the next year or 2 years, with yep. them coming back, with the process that's been put into place to be able to approach, let's do this now, we need to have this already there and solid.
I could take the other side of your argument about that. It seems to me that City of North Bend, which needs commercial business so badly, is giving it all the way back to Issaquah's people. They have dinner, you know. We're just letting them all go. You know, we should at least have a toll bridge there.
Well, but that's where overlays, where we're making this area, which could have those type of amenities that you just talked to, that people go into, like myself. I can only eat Bar and Grill so much, Boxley, you know, I've got my whole list of restaurants that I hit, and then it's like, okay, guys, get in the trucks here. We're off to Issaquah, right? Because we don't have those options. But when we start making a lot of these areas where we do have that opportunity, and I think that's where you were going, Scott, with your corporate park even, is, you know, now it's going to become more houses. So now we are fulfilling that bedroom community. Now we are more houses. But, again, the flip side is people who work in North Bend need to be able to afford to live here.
Well, you kind of hit almost on the if you build it, they will come idea, that some of those corporate partners that we could draw in, we're not going to draw in until we have a sufficient amount of multifamily residential for their employees.
That's checkbox one for an investor-friendly city, which is driving me crazy that we're not, that we need to work on. I mean, we need an information officer, communications, marketing. There's all sorts of things we need.
But it all costs money, though.
Right.
But, again, when you're talking about the downtown and getting people to eat here and stay here and not go to Issaquah, the gateways are part of that. If we have a really solid gateway that draws people into the historic downtown, mm-hmm. and there seems to be some cleaning up happening, there's some positive energy going on down there right now. As that builds, we need to be ready to have everything else in place to draw people through.
I laughed at Mayor Ken a couple weeks ago. He caught me wearing my Snoqualmie college shirt. He said, don't you wear that again. I said, Ken, you clean your town out, you know, wear something you can sell me. Because he looked harsh at me and said, you don't wear that. But I don't feel a lot of pride about my downtown area right now. I just wish there'd be a lot more effort made upon the landowners there to clean up their mess.
I was seeing some activity somewhere. I was really happy to see some activity.
Yeah, there's progression.
We'll see what's going to happen there. I noticed some trash coming out of one of the buildings down there that I was really excited about.
And the council approved quite a bit of funds to go towards the gateway. I don't remember exactly how it reads, but definitely one of the focuses was for the truck stop and out to the Middle Fork. So mm-hmm. that's planned and in the budget to start that project. But we don't have other funding set aside next year for, I guess I would say, general gateway or the rest of the gateway. I mean, we can draft code and whatever, but
well, I think probably once we get the main corridor figured out,
yeah,
the others, it's kind of like then you have the blueprint.
Scaling, yeah. You can scale it.
So,
yeah.
What were you saying about the Middle Fork?
There was a decision card put in for council, and they approved it. I want to say it was, or do you know about it? It was like $50,000, and
I can't remember the amount.
It was to focus on the gateway improvements out to the Middle Fork, which included, it includes right here, the Southeast Middle Fork Road and 468. And then I believe there was another area. So it was focusing on two gateways, but primarily this one.
Mm-hmm. That would be a random winner up there.
Well, we know with all the work they're doing in the Middle Fork and that's going to be opening up and paved, that there's going to be a lot more traffic going through there. And we want to try to capitalize on some of that and bring people that are going out to the Middle Fork into town.
I have to drive through the no man's land of interesting things to get to town.
Yeah, from that point. Mm-hmm.
Well, what's next? Anything else for good of the order? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Motion by Brendan.
I second that motion.
Second by Mr. Ryan. All those in favor, say aye. We are adjourned at 8:16.
Happy New Year.